Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
We're all in a place, my friend, that should, out of a heart of thankfulness and gratitude, say, God, we have so much more. To whom much is given, much is required, my friend.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Hebrews 11:32 through about 39 really is broken into two parts. I'm going to talk about one today. And it is, by faith, some were triumphant victors. Some were really tragic victims. And in both of those, they both live by faith. You read the first part, those we're going to talk about today. And they go, hey, yeah, you know, then I'm on board, man. Jump in, I'm here. It's like when you're going, okay, sawn asunder, goat skins, and I don't know if I'm into that. But are those any less important to God? See, here we're humanly going, yeah, hey, I want to be victor. They won. The rest of these, they're losers. God's saying, hey, you know what? They're not all like losers. They're all winners in my eyes because they're living by faith, which is the whole point of the passage. I've had many times people say, you know, I want to know God. I want to sense God. I don't sense God. And you got to come back to the point. How am I living? If you're desiring to live by sight, if you're desiring to look for an experience, if you're desiring to look for a feeling, you're going to be sorely disappointed and you're going to be up and down in your Christian life because you cannot find the scripture. Live for something good. Live for something like, whoa, get me up. What you will find, live by faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're living for the invisible. Faith lives above sea level. And when you end up finding these groups right here, you will end up finding in this simple passage, let me make a few observations. And one of those, among others, are motivating qualities. Number one, as you end up reading, notice verse 32, as he says, the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets. And he kind of takes these three pairs. The first one of each of these three are ones that we probably have heard more of. David and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. And all of these really were national heroes for Israel. But they all express, from the point of this passage, is these three qualities. And historic spiritualities reveal there are a set of non-negotiable values or qualities that are required and expected of every believer. What are they? You need them. I need them today. You know what they are? Number one, understand as I read this passage that all of these, by faith, they cheerfully and confidently accepted God-given tasks against all human odds. You know what these people were doing? They were living by faith that they courageously, number two, they stood alone to face immense odds for Christ's sake. That's why they're recorded in this passage. That's why you end up finding them. Who is he talking about? Who stopped the mouths of lions? I mean, you can see that Samson and David and Benaiah, all of those shut the mouths of lions through physical force. I mean, Samson, he barehandedly took a charging lion and by the jaw and ripped it apart. David did it evidently as a shepherd boy, as a teenager. Obviously, our mind, however, would go to Daniel, who's the preeminent example through his faith and in prayer in Daniel 6. Are you into finding they quenched the violence of fires? Could it be that the writer was talking about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? They trusted God. And they coolly conversed in a blazing furnace while the awestruck king looked on. Could it be that they escaped the edge of the sword? Could be multiple people, including King David, as well as the prophets or Elijah and Elisha. They escaped the sword, as many others. And you know what? It is, as the term I hear used now and then, counterintuitive. Counter, they're opposite of the intuition, the normal instincts of humans. They're doing the opposite of what your instincts humanly say, counterintuitive. And really, you look at the Bible's commands, you find that all the time. When the Bible says, do good to those that despitefully use you. Give and it'll be given unto you. You lose your life and you'll gain it. Man, that's opposite what your nature's telling you, my friend. But that's why God says, listen, it is by faith they courageously, they stood alone to face immense odds for Christ's sake. And when you get to the place, you start looking at life as these individuals were highlighted. Jonathan Edwards, who made a powerful statement, he said, and he prayed, oh God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. What is he saying? Help me to look at life as eternity. That I'm not living for this world, I'm living for another world. And that's what you read about people like this that could cheerfully and confidently accept God-given tasks. That's why you end up finding them that could stop the mouths of lions and quench the violence of fires and escape the edge of the sword because they courageously stood alone. And you know, the writer of Hebrews, the whole point he's making with others is be confident. God's shaking things up in this world. There is no security in this world. And I think God took 9/11 to shake up a world, our own country, to realize, you know what? There are events that you cannot control. In your own world, your own life, your own family, your own particulars, that's not going to shake a kingdom or shake a country, but it's shaking you. Is it any different that you got to say, God, this is my God-given task today. I got to take care of my child. I got to take care of my husband. I got to take care of my family. God, I need you today. God, I want to courageously stand alone because you know what? My coworker, they don't even want me to turn on my radio and my own desk. They don't want me to end up saying anything. I can't even give a gospel tract because someone might get offended. You're too exclusive. You can't say that Jesus is the only way. All of a sudden we find ourselves in defensive. And is it any different today that God is saying, listen, you need the same kind of encouragement, you need to stand alone because you have a whole world going opposite you. And may God, as well as he did with Jonathan Edwards, do the same for us, and he would stamp eternity on our eyeballs, which, as the writer of Hebrews finishes this one section with the last triad of explanation when he says in verse 34, when he makes the statement lastly, and as I read this, I realize that when he's making the statement after being in verse 34, out of weakness were made strong, they waxed valiant in fight, and they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And women receive their dead raised to life again. What is he saying? He's saying, very simply, number three, a non-negotiable value and quality of those living by faith, that by faith they chose obedience with God's minority rather than earth's majority. And I'd encourage you to write them down because you're going to end up finding that somewhere along in life, you're going to end up needing the same things. You're going to need to see that, you know what, people before me, that their weakness was turned to strength. They became powerful in battle. They turned to flight foreign enemies. Women even received back their dead. They raised to life again. Could he be talking about Elijah, who stretched himself out three times in that dead form of the son of the widow of Zarephath and cried to God for his life and then carried the child alive to that distraught mother? Everything's going to be okay. Could it be that the writer is referring to even Elisha, that was his understudy that accomplished a similar feat with the Shunammite woman's son? You see, you read those events in the Bible, you think, man, that's powerful. It is powerful. But, I don't think God could do that. Really? You don't think God's got enough power to do what he did there, that God doesn't have enough power to help you with your checkbook? God doesn't have power to help you with that wayward child that you're so burdened about that you can't carry your burdens to God? He doesn't have power to take that? He doesn't have enough power to help you with that business. He doesn't have power to help you with your own family. He doesn't have power to help you with whatever difficulty you have going on. Because ultimately, these people did the same thing that you and I have to do every single day. God, every day I'm starting my day out in prayer. God, I need you today. Guide my steps, my experiences, my conversations. You guide and direct. One person wisely observed, listen, quote, "A life incapable of significant sacrifice is also incapable of courageous action." Hey, I don't know, man. I just, you know, hey, those people, hey, you bet. You go get them, man. I'm just, I don't think I can do that. Why not? Why not? Listen, mother, you know how to sacrifice because you sacrifice for your children. You would give your life for a child. Dad, you know you'd give your life for your boy. Husbands, you know you'd give your life for your mate. Then why is it not when we stand and we hear things and events going on to say, God, I want to give my life to you. And these were all triumphant on earth. And I want to recognize them because even as the writer of Hebrews recognizing, there were events went on that God on this side of eternity revealed it. And he begins a whole list of others. But they were all living by faith. We're all in a place, my friend, that should out of a heart of thankfulness and gratitude say, God, we have so much more. To whom much is given, much is required, my friend. Maybe we become ungrateful when we have so much, my friend. First of all, there better be a welling up of a thankfulness and gratitude for what you have. In addition to that, you better use that as well as a realization that I'm no different than these folks here. I don't care how bad it might be for you. If you're a born-again child of God and part of God's family, He is your Father, and everything is Father-filtered. Nothing gets by without His permission. He knows. He understands. He loves you. He will put it together. All things will work together for good. Only if you, by faith, every day, God, my feelings aren't there. These events don't seem to be happening. But God, by faith, I believe that. Because if you don't have that confidence and assurance that God died for your sins, you take Him as your Savior. When you repent, you turn from your way, to somewhere in your life realizing that the Bible is true, that He calls you to repentance, turn from your way. You trust Him, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, and you take Him today as your Savior. Let me tell you something, that'd be the greatest thing that could happen today in my own heart and mind. Those of you who listen to Wave Radio, you have to understand that Christ came to this world to save sinners. He loved the world so much, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him won't perish, have everlasting life. And I'm going to tell you, I know some people that will sit there and go, hey, don't, man, I got it all together. Oh, really? You've got it all together. You got all the answers. Really? Yeah, well, but you don't understand what God's done in my life. You know what? God does know. He does understand. Could it be that He is allowing these events to draw your heart to Him? As a father that draws that hurting child, He wants to do that with you today.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.